As Don mentioned, it has been a difficult week in many different respects, and it seems that we as Christians need to understand that evil still has a very prominent place in this world, and that the mission of Jesus is still needed extremely, and maybe more so we might think of. Jesus came to bring His kingdom here on this earth and to bring His teachings, and we need to pray and to seek that that reality can be lived out more, and that more people can give their lives to Christ, and that the will of God can prevail more upon this world. It seems that so many of the problems that we see in our world that are daily showed to us on news, if we look at them through the spiritual glasses that the Word of God gives us, we see the power of Satan, power of evil. And we also see the opportunity for the gospel to change hearts and lives. Let's have a prayer and then we'll look to our lesson. Father, we pray that Your will can be done more upon this earth. Father, we know that the mission of Your Son was to bring light into darkness. And Father, we know that our mission as followers of Jesus is to bring light into darkness through following His will. And Father, help us to be that shining example in our own sphere of influence to make a difference in this world for good. And Father, we pray for the church and for Your kingdom that we can have a greater impact upon the world that we live in, and specifically upon our nation and the problems that our nation faces, and for those who are so needy out there, who are so desperate that they are driven to great acts of, such as the one in Connecticut, Father, we pray that more can be done as a society to help the hurting, to provide a stronger families in our culture, in our society, to strengthen our young people, for greater morality and a moral compass to be given in a stronger degree across our nation and in our homes. Father, we pray that Your will be done. And help us to be working and influential to make an impact on bringing Your light, Your gospel, Your truth into this world. Father, we ask all these things through Christ we pray. Amen. This morning we're thinking about Christmas gifts for your kids. I'm not going to give you a list of what you should get your kids. That's the physical gifts. But I want to think about some other gifts that I hope you're giving your kids. You know, if you think back upon your childhood, you probably don't remember that many gifts that your parents gave you. Oh, there might be that few different gifts you remember on Christmas morning getting up, and that special gift that you received that you were so grateful you got and you had a lot of fun with. And as a kid, it just sticks in your memory, getting that truck or getting that doll or getting some, nowadays it's a video game or something like that, or maybe even as a teenager or a college student getting some piece of jewelry and really appreciating your parents or whoever it was giving you that. But I, speaking personally here, but I can say that though I don't remember that many specific gifts that I received, the gifts that I'm going to speak of this morning, I am so thankful that my parents gave me by their life and by the way they live, not only on Christmas Day, but every day of the year. And I want to share five things that if you're a parent or if you're a grandparent, that I want you to determine to give your kids this year and every year throughout your life. The first one is, I want you to give your kids a healthy marriage. A healthy marriage. You see, you are the model for your kids and their future relationships. And I understand that there's all kinds of circumstances, and I know that I'm catching you might say, in midstream, and And sometimes we understand that already there's a divorce or there's a situation where there's step-parents and things of that nature. But we deal with those issues at other times. But let me say for the lesson this morning that you need to determine to treat your spouse in a godly manner. You need to determine that you're going to display and model for your children a godly and respectful and loving marriage relationship. I've often said it from this pulpit, and I'll say it again, that the greatest gift you can give your children is a healthy marriage. It seems that so many times we can get flipped upside down, we might say, in that we get focused as parents upon giving our kids so many things. And we want to give them all every opportunity that we can give them. And so we often, through the years of raising our kids, it is common for us sometimes to neglect that relationship with our wife or with our husband. And we focus on the kids so much that that relationship suffers. And what we need to be reminded of is that that relationship doesn't need to suffer because it is intrinsically connected to the relationship with our kids. And if that relationship is suffering, it's going to affect the future of our kids. And so it might mean sometimes saying no to the kids to say yes to your marriage. And it's very true that we have our marriage here and there's all kinds of things pulling against it. And one of those things that we often don't think of that can be pulling against the marriage is actually the children and the stresses that children bring and the pursuits we try to push our children in and all the challenges that parenting is can actually work to pull apart the marriage. But we must determine that we're going to keep a healthy marriage. Look to Malachi chapter 2. In the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. And notice what the Bible says here in this instance. Speaking to the children of Israel, it speaks about there being tears upon the altar and weeping and groaning because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one and with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So, notice, so guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of his youth. Notice what the Bible says there. One of the great purposes of marriage is for us to produce godly offspring. Children growing up, knowing about God, loving God, and being raised to be true to God. And the children of Israel were failing at that. And it says there are tears upon the altar there in the temple. Because they were faithless, they were committing adultery, they were leaving, they were treating their wives or their husbands in a way that was breaking the covenant, that wasn't faithful to their vows. God says it harms the children. We often joke, because we have four kids, you know, trying to fulfill that first great mandate that the Bible teaches, be fruitful and multiply. But there's some truth in that God created marriage in the home as to be the best place for children to be raised. Make sure you pay attention to your marriage. Ephesians 5 would speak to this as we often study, but we need to move on. And let us note before doing so that we must be reminded that we are the model for our future children's marriage. In other words, if I treat my wife disrespectful and I treat her in a way that is actually tearing down a marriage, I'm modeling for my sons how they are to treat their wives.
And if I treat my daughter, if my wife treats me in a way, she's modeling for our daughter how that daughter is supposed to treat her husband. And so it's very sobering to think about that pattern we're setting for our children.
The next thing we need to note that we want to give our children is the gift of integrity. In Ephesians chapter 4,
notice how the Bible in this passage would say several things about integrity. In this chapter, the Bible says in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human schemes and craftiness, but rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love.
We need to be homes that teach our children that the truth isn't always easy. And often the policy of honesty isn't always easy, but it is still the best policy. We need to be people of integrity. In verse 25 of this same chapter, chapter 4, Paul would write in that passage, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In verse 31, it speaks of let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander be put away from you. And then in chapter 5, he speaks of teaching and saying the truth as well. We must teach them not to lie, not to cheat, or not to steal. These basic issues of integrity, these are gifts that, as if I were to ask you to raise your hand, many of you would say you were taught that at a very young age by your parents and by your grandparents, that it is wrong to lie, cheat, and steal. And they put that within your conscience from a young age. And aren't you thankful for that gift that they gave you? We need to teach our children. And we do that by not lying to our kids. Don't lie to your kids. Don't lie to your kids and be deceitful to them. They'll figure you out.
And let me say this as well. Don't lie for your kids. If you're trying to get them out of something, don't lie for them. They see that you're lying for them. Don't make excuses for them that are deceitful and that are lying. Don't lie to your kids and don't lie for your kids. Give them the gift of integrity.
The third gift we want to give our kids is discipline. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4,
fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline or the instruction or training of the Lord. There's a passage from the Old Testament that we often refer to when we're talking about discipline, but it's such a frightening passage. When Eli, the priest of God, had his sons, and they were serving in the temple, but they were doing horrible things. They're in the temple compound. They're in the temple area with women. They were doing horrible things in terms of their blaspheming and their words. And Eli, their father, did not restrain them. Listen to what the Bible says. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.
Children, though they often don't admit it, need and desire and want discipline. And God expects us, and boy, it is a challenge at times, isn't it? But God expects us to provide boundaries for their safety, for their protection, and for their instruction. Do not pull strings to get them out of trouble. The challenge is letting them be responsible for their own actions. Teaching responsibility and dealing with their own consequences that they brought on by their choices. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible implies in verses 9 through 11 that a father and a mother, obviously, that they are going to have a disciplining
attitude and nature for their children. In verse 9 it says, "Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good." Notice what the Bible says. It says they disciplined us as seemed best to them. Being a parent, I know that often you don't know exactly how you should handle a situation. And that often gets more complicated as your children get older. And I like that the writer here put in, through the inspiration of God, an understanding and a level of grace that we do it as it seems best. We're not going to get it all right. No parent ever has. But we do it as seems best to us. And we make modifications when we need to make modifications. But we determine to be intentional about it, to not just think that raising children is like letting a raft go down a river, but rather we want to be intentional about where and what we want to be communicated to our children. Parenting is more about discipline than it is about friendship. We need to give the gift of boundaries and of discipline. The fourth gift we need to give is we need to give the gift of love. Obviously, this is a gift that we often think of, but I want you to consider this idea of giving the gift of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible would speak of the kind of love we should give. And it's this kind of love that is patient and kind, and love that doesn't envy or boast, that isn't arrogant or rude, that doesn't insist on its own way, that isn't irritable or resentful, that does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth, that bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, and hopes in all things. That's a challenging text to read as we think about, do I love and do I display that kind of example to my children? We need to give the gift of unconditional love for our children. How do you spell love? We might think that in a child's mind, and even in a teenager's mind or a grandchild's mind, that love is spelt in these ways. T-I-M-E, time, spending time with them. L-I-S-T-E-N, listening to them. Being there and actually caring what's going on. T-O-U-C-H, touching and hugging and caring. Rules, R-U-L-E-S, that boundaries, that I care enough to set boundaries for you and to discipline you. And then play, P-L-A-Y, that having fun together and recreating together and doing things that both all the family can enjoy. When we think about love, we often spell it just L-O-V-E. But in a child's mind and in our children's mind, they often spell it in many different ways. In the book on 5 Languages of Love for Your Children by Gary Chapman, he applies 5 different ways that children often receive and feel love. And he talks about these 5 ways as being the touch, physical touch, as being acts of service where you serve and provide for the needs of the child, as being gifts where you give things to your child that represent and show you love them, where you spend quality time with them, and finally, where you affirm them with your words. You build them up and teach them with your words. Your child, like most all humans and all other humans in our relationships, often speaks 2 of those languages, especially 1 primarily, maybe a secondary language, where they really need to receive love in those ways. Figure out what your child and how they spell love and determine to meet that language of love in their life. I love this verse, 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. And I think it applies directly to parenting. That is that you're going to make a lot of mistakes as a parent. Many times men and I go to bed at night just shaking our head thinking, did we accomplish anything good today? And we need to take comfort in this verse. It's not saying that God just looks over sins. What it's saying is that in our relationship with other people, that if we make it our aim to love, it will cover many of our failures in those relationships. Your child, as they grow older, they're going to remember some of your mistakes. But more than they remember your mistakes, they will remember if you love them. Be sure and love them. The final gift we give our children, and that I was given as a child and I want to give my children, is the spiritual training in the Lord. This training must be intentional. It is not optional, but rather is essential. As one quote I read in preparing for this lesson said, our children do not need a dose of God. They need an entire life of God. You know, we don't just give our children a little bit of God. We have to envelop them with God. We have to make sure they know that God is not just a part of our Sunday ritual, but God is a part of our Monday through Saturday ritual as well. That God doesn't just belong at church, but God is in our home. God is in our living room. God is around our kitchen table. God is with us at school. We have to let our children know and teach them that all we do is to be done in reverence and love and respect through God. You see, we need to train our children spiritually. That's what Ephesians 6:4 is really getting to. When the Bible says that fathers are not supposed to provoke their children, but they are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's not just training and instruction as we spoke of earlier about discipline, but it's the training and instruction of the Lord. It's the Lord's training. It's the Lord's discipline. It's the Lord's will. And so we want to train our children spiritually. This involves consistency and commitment. We need consistency in our faith, that we're going to be dedicated Christians. We need commitment in our involvement to the church. We need commitment in our respect of Scripture and our surrendering to Scripture. We need it to not always be an option of whether we're going to be involved in church activities or youth events or in Bible class, but we're going to be committed. That just like we're committed to other type of classes, we're going to be committed to our Bible classes. Because the spiritual training of our children is so vital and essential. You see, spiritual training is really an issue of priorities. And our children, especially as they move through the teen years, are going to be challenged on the issue of priorities. And we need to not turn their choices over to them too early. But parents, help them and teach them and require of them as you help them to define their priorities. Don't just let them make decisions on their own. You set the example and you set the teaching and the requirements of the priorities you expect in your household.
What gifts are you going to give your children? I think we're done shopping for our children.
I think the presents have been prepared. But the gifts I've talked about this morning aren't going to be given in the next few days and in the next couple weeks. They're going to be given over a lifetime. And they require a lot more work than just running to the mall or running to Walmart. But these are the gifts that my kids will remember. And they're the gifts your kids will remember. Determine to give your kids the gift of a healthy marriage, of integrity, of discipline, love, and spiritual training. If you're here this morning, you need to respond to the gospel. If you want to put Christ on in baptism, or if you want to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.